We continue to study the 21st chapter of Luke, and we're in Luke 21, where we have been witness to our Lord's instruction to his disciples regarding things to come. You know, everybody likes to know about things to come. I'm sure you have a list at home about things to come. We mark our calendars of things to come. I've got to go to the doctor on Wednesday, and I have to look at my calendar of things to come to make sure that I get there, because somehow the memory is not as sharp as it used to be, so I look at my calendar of things to come. And the Lord Jesus Christ was careful in this chapter to give a calendar, not by dates, but by events of things to come to his disciples. Now, he's told them very plainly that there will be those that come and announce themselves as the Messiah, or there will be those that come falsely in his name, saying that they represent the Lord Jesus Christ, but in fact, they're deceivers. So he warns his disciples of this to come. And then he also talks about wars. There's going to be wars. There's going to be commotions. This nation's going to rise against that nation, and this kingdom will rise against this kingdom. And not only there will be wars, but there's going to be earthquakes, and there's going to be pestilences, and there's going to be fearful sights and great signs. These things are normal to what is to come. And even though you go through them, you're not to be fearful. Now that's quite a command, isn't it? To have earthquakes and pestilences and famine, and you go to the refrigerator and it's empty. That's the only time the refrigerator is clean or orderly, when you have a famine and there's nothing to eat. But the Lord Jesus Christ tells us not to be fearful in this. And you know, when the Lord Jesus Christ tells you to do something, he gives you the tools to accomplish that. And what is the tool to not be fearful? It's to be trusting. It's to find refuge in the fortress of Jesus Christ. So he tells us not to be deceived. He tells us not to be terrified, for all of these things are ordained of God to come to pass. But he says, and even though these things come to pass, the end is not necessarily by and by. You know, a lot of times we say, oh, the Lord must be coming. Look at this event. The Lord cautions us against that, and he says, now these things are coming to pass, and even though they come to pass doesn't mean that I'm coming by and by. So the instruction to his disciples boils down to this, and we've heard this. I've heard this. I've been in this church now since 1969, and Dr. Hobbs has preached this all those years, and you've been in the church, Mrs. Hobbs, longer than that. And you can attest to the fact that Dr. Hobbs preached this all the time, and it was basically be steady in the work. Keep on keeping on. Don't falter. Don't be terrified. Don't despair. You know, fear can keep you from the work of God. Fear can keep you cowering in the corner, not putting the supper on the table when the supper needs to be put on the table. The conditions around you may change drastically, and as described by our Lord, may be horrible to behold. Horrible. These events are horrible. You know, on the Weather Channel, they keep showing the tsunami stories. They go over there after these weather happenings, and they interview people about what did you do? What happened to you during the tsunami? And then they kind of recreate the happenings. And Those are horrible. Can you imagine floating around in all of that debris and buses and cars floating past you and you trying to keep your head afloat? And they had one little story of this little toddler, must have been 2 or 3 years old, that was washed 2 miles into the jungle. Mother and father frantic, trying to find their little boy, thinking that he was dead. But miraculously, they found him, standing on the shore, bruised and battered. But these conditions that he's described are horrible to behold. But we as Christians are to remember the one constant in which we are to operate is the constancy of God. God is constant. The Bible reminds us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. We can hold on to that. All of these changes, global warming, oh, I'm so afraid of global warming. Well, should I be, even if global warming is true, should I be fearful? Don't you think my Father controls global warming? Can he take care of me in these difficult times? Yes, he can, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we see here that he could not have described any worse conditions than these in which the disciples may find themselves, but regardless of the conditions that you find yourselves, that I find myself in, his instruction is just to keep on trusting in God and occupy till he comes. You know, we're an occupation force. Christians are an occupation force, we're an occupation force over in Iraq. They're trying to keep the peace and trying to keep some semblance of order there. Well, we're trying to keep the peace and trying to keep some semblance of order in this world as a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to occupy till, it's not there, is it? Occupy till he comes. And then in Luke 21:12, he continues, the Lord Jesus Christ continues, but before all these, he gives us a time reference here. But before all these, now I've given you all of these events that are going to take place, and you're saying, wow, this is quite a load to bear. Well, I've got another load for you to bear here. You know, you say, well, I don't think I can bear the load. Well, be careful. The Lord has maybe another load for you to bear. He gives you enough to bear, but he doesn't crush you. So he gives them another load to bear in verse 12. But before all these things, they shall lay their hands on you. Not like Benny Hinn. It's not going to be a healing laying of the hands. No. Delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. You know, that last part ought to be enough. You know, why do you go through these things? For my name's sake. Now, before this revelation of verse 12, our Lord spoke of general calamities which would befall the world. You know, I can kind of take general calamities. Yeah, there's going to be this, and there's going to be that, and there's going to be this. And then somebody comes and says, well, your house is going to fall down. That's not a general calamity. That's a specific calamity. I hope I'm not sitting in my lazy boy. Maybe I ought to get a dome for my lazy boy in case. You know? But before this verse, he was talking about general calamities, and now the Lord speaks of the persecution which believers in Christ must suffer because of aligning with him. You know, the Bible says you're either for me or you're against me. There's no middle ground. You're either aligned with Christ or you're against Christ, the Bible says. Now, those that are against Christ will be persecuting those that are aligning with Christ, we're told here. And what Jesus says here can be applied to Christians all through the history of the church. But what he says here is specific for these disciples. Violent hands will be laid on them. Hands that are wishing to do violence will be laid on them. They're going to be persecuted. They're going to be delivered to the synagogues for punishment. They're going to be thrown into prisons. They're going to be brought before kings and rulers, but for his name's sake. You know, we ought to grow into a spirit of thanking the Lord when those things come about, for the privilege of suffering for his name's sake. You know? You got to grow into that. That doesn't come to the new Christian. That comes to the Christian that knows Christ and knows his word and has his head on straight about truth and reality and right. But you read the book of Acts and Luke's second book, and you'll readily see many of the sufferings of the saints in the days after the ascension of Jesus Christ to heaven. The book of Acts is replete with the suffering of the saints. So I think that this teaching to his disciples and to us is given so that we may not find excuse for ceasing the carrying out of the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ during hard times. You know, we've got it easy. We have it easy. You say, well, you don't know my life. Yeah, I know your life. You've got it easy. I've got it easy. But hard times will come, and the Lord Jesus Christ says, don't expect these hard times to keep you from occupying till I come. Paul instructed the Corinthians, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. You know, oh, that earthquake moved me. Oh, that tsunami moved me. Oh, that house falling down on my head, that moved me. No. Paul instructed the Corinthians, be unmovable. What are you doing while you're not moving? Now, when it says unmovable, unmovable from the Word of God. Not carried about with every wind of doctrine. Oh, you know, that's what the doctrines of the cults are. They're winds that blow in, carry out the leaves that are movable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, not just getting by. You know, this ministry ought to abound in the work of the Lord. From my perspective, I think it does. You know, I look out and I see the well-worn grass out here. I'd love to see all that grass nice and green and so on, but then I say, well, you know, this is a used up facility. How to keep this facility going is quite a task, is it not, Pastor? Why? Because I hope that we're abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So he didn't exclude hard times in this instruction. In hard times as well as in easy times, we are to occupy till he comes. In fact, you look at the history of the church, you'll find that hard times are most times the best times to proclaim the hope that we have in Christ. Hard times. People going through difficulties and trials need to know the reality of salvation and deliverance in Jesus Christ. Believers during hard times are called upon to publicly declare their faith. They have opportunities for public witness to those in authority. We've seen that in the book of Acts. And in these times, Jesus Christ tells us that we're going to have special help of the Lord, for the saint is not to plan his testimony in advance, but instead to look to the Lord to be given the right words for the moment. You know, remember Stephen and his wonderful oration in Acts chapter 7? Do you think Stephen had notes? Do you think he pulled out his dissertation from his vest pocket and said, "Hold it, fellas, before you throw the stones, I've got it right here"? Oh, no. Stephen's oration was given him of the Lord at that time. Those words that came out of Stephen's mouth were not rehearsed, but they were given to him as the Lord promised. In verse 14, he said this, "Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist." Settle it. Remember that when someone casts you into prison for your testimony. Oh, I'm giving an opportunity to express my testimony in court or wherever before rulers. He says, settle it in your hearts. Don't meditate upon that. I'll give you the words to speak. You know, when you can speak the words of God, that's a wonderful gift, isn't it? You think, oh, Lord, help me to speak your words when I teach. I pray that all the time. Give me the words. Give me your words. I've got a lot of words. And any preacher or teacher will tell you that. They've got plenty of words, but those words are vain words when you can get the words of God to teach. So all these things have come about and will continue to come about until the Lord comes. And he continues within his instruction in verse 16. You say, well, wow, this has gotten worse. Well, it's getting worser, if there's such a word. Starting to get personal here in verse 16. "And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you they cause to be put to death." They, kinsfolk, brethren, parents. Can you imagine a parent turning on their child because they have a testimony for Jesus Christ and turning them in? That's been done. That probably continues to be done today. You know, as I said, we have it easy in this country, but there are places in this world where parents turn on their children because they have a testimony for Christ. "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls." You know, that phrase, "not a hair of your head perish," shows you the care and the concern of God for you, even your hairs. You know, we've already studied the passage in Luke about parents, about loving the Lord and hating your parents. Remember that passage? But the Lord told us that our love for Him must be so great that if compared to our love for our family, our love for our family seems like hate. That's the comparison that He expects us to operate in. Yes, we love our parents, but our love for God is so much greater that it dims any love we have for our parents. But this love for God is going to be tested. For persecution which men face will include even being opposed and hated by their own families. Saints in the times of persecution will be betrayed by their closest relatives, and some will even be handed over to death. You know, last week we talked about getting some backbone. Boy, this ought to be an encouragement to get some backbone. So easy to live in a soft time, but are you ready for the hard times? I think every saint of God, every soldier of Christ ought to be ready for the hard times. You don't know when the hard times come. So the hard words of Jesus concerning the disciple and his family that we studied in Luke 14:26 make a great deal of sense when you know what may come in your Christian life. See, we're kind of astounded at that preaching of Christ. But Christ knew what was to come. And he said, you better get some backbone for those times to come. The hard words of Jesus Christ were intended for the hard times ahead, those times that he specifically describes in this chapter. You know, knowing that we may be even betrayed by our own family, we must choose Christ above family now, or we will forsake the faith in those times. You know, get on Christ today fully. For where your allegiance is now, most likely is where your allegiance will be in hard times. You know, can we stand up for the Lord now? No. Well, these are soft times. How are you going to do it in hard times? So, men and women of faith need not fear persecution and even death when they know that their eternity is secure in Christ. You know, how can we fear who have eternal life? How can we fear death? How can we fear persecution? How can we fear hatred from our families when we have the greatest gift of all, the gift of Christ in our lives? You know, Christ transcends all families. Preeminence. Remember that right there. Christ preeminent. Christ up here. All others here. Preeminent. That means far above anything on this earth, including our families. You know, one of the most comforting promises in all of this is the fact that Christ will never leave you nor forsake you, and you cannot say that about your family. You can't say that about your family. Oh, yeah, my mother would always love me. Well, you just can't say that. Your mom's a sinner. Christ is perfect. And that's one of the most comforting things that we can think about. And it's an encouragement to us to be faithful in Christ. Read Hebrews 13. We may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." You know, that ought to be practiced in our lives. When fear comes up of men, ask the Lord to banish that fear, because when we fear men, we don't fear God. When we fear others, we don't have faith that God will uphold us and take care of us and be with us. So this is where faith in Christ takes you. Faith in the Word of God, faith in the promises of God, will sustain you through all of the things that the Lord Jesus Christ described in chapter 21. Faith in God. Trust in God. And that's the thing that we must cultivate during these times. He goes on to say, and he gets more personal here for these particular disciples, in verse 20 through 24. And when ye shall see, he doesn't say if ye shall see, so this is pertaining to these disciples. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. You look over the wall and see Jerusalem compassed with armies. You don't have to wonder what's going on. They're not coming for R&R. That's rest and recreation. They're not coming for rest and recreation. They're coming for your rest and not your recreation. But the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to Jerusalem. No, flee to the mountains. You know, walled cities were the place to flee to. You're a farmer out in the field, you're working the field, and the armies are coming. You don't flee from the city, you flee into the city. That was the norm. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying, don't do that. If you're in Judea, flee to the mountains. And let them which are in the midst of it, the midst of Jerusalem, depart out. Time to get out. And let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. Don't go in. You know, during the time of this desolation was the time of Passover. And the multitudes poured into Jerusalem, and then the armies compassed and kept the multitudes in. It was a perfect time to destroy as many Jews as possible. If they'd have listened to the Lord Jesus Christ, they would have been in the mountains. And I won't have time today, but next week I'm going to read, the Lord willing, about this siege, about this destruction of Jerusalem, about the destruction of the temple that the Lord here about 40 years prior to this event is talking about as if it happened. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. God's wrath took place in 70 AD upon the Jews. Their whole system was destroyed. Their temple was destroyed. Jerusalem was destroyed. Over 1 million people were killed. The ones that were left were dispersed throughout all the nations, and Israel ceased to be. The wrath of God was upon them. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. It's still being trodden down by the Gentiles today. So that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is describing here to the disciples. He cares for them. Don't flee to the city, but flee from the city. Do the opposite of the norm. And those that listened were saved, but those that didn't hear the Lord Jesus Christ were lost in this event that is coming to the fore. Father, thank you so much for your word. Oh Lord, how much light it is to us. We don't have to be ignorant. We don't have to be ignorant of what's coming upon this earth, for you tell us what's coming upon this earth. Help us, Lord, to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and take advantage of this time that we have to grow strong in the Word of God, that we might be prepared at all times for the hard times, not soft, not loose, but ready to trust in you at all times. Bless our pastor, Father, as he gives us the word of God on this resurrection day. And help us, Lord, to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. And part of that was to go to the cross and shed his precious blood that we didn't have to shed ours. We're so thankful, Father, for this. And we pray you'd bless us now as we go to our service, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.